Hello again. It is nice to meet you again at the fourth podcast of the Project Coping Against Information Disorder. I am Maria, an AI-based voice from Voicemaker, and together with my colleague Hudson, we will guide you through the seven training modules of this Erasmus Plus project. In this module, we will show you why dialogue is important, both in general and in the context of dealing with misinformation. We will explain the most important fundamentals of dialogue and help you to build skills in creating an effective dialogue. Finally, we will also talk about difficulties in intercultural communication. Okay, it's time to start this session.
How can one counteract the beliefs in information disorder? Counteracting a belief in information disorder can be very challenging cases, because beliefs are by definition stable ideas that do not get changed easily. This can differ per person and per belief, depending on the strength of the belief. For example, some people are just misinformed and are open-minded towards other perspectives. Other people, however, may have more radical, close-minded beliefs. This can happen when this person is part of an echo chamber. In both cases, but especially the latter, it is crucial to engage in dialogue. I mentioned the word echo chamber. This is an environment in which a person encounters only beliefs or opinions that coincide with their own, so that their existing views are reinforced and alternative ideas are not considered.
So, a dialogue is important. In order to change someone's mind about certain beliefs or ideas, they have to come into contact with other perspectives, facts, insights and attitude. Talking with them is a very good way to offer these perspectives. In the case of belief in information disorder, you could address feelings, ideas, and facts on a personal level through conversations, in order to hopefully counteract their attitudes based on falsehoods. However, not all dialogue has the same effect.
The dialogue can differ extensively. Some conversations are combative in nature, while others are respectful. As you could expect, combative conversations do not amount to anything usually. Due to the aggressive nature of this dialogue, it will end up in emotional, close-minded arguments. If you want to change someone's mind on a subject, it is crucial to stay respectful and foster an open dialogue. In order to have an effective respectful dialogue, the environment in which it takes place should be safe. This creates opportunities to challenge their own beliefs and engage with different perspectives without judgment.
In order to create such a safe environment, you should know about four core elements, or four fundamentals for effective dialogue. First, relationships should be based on trust so that adolescents and young adults feel comfortable expressing their doubts. Second, the dialogue should be egalitarian. Third, you should provide guidance in the dialogue. And fourth, reject aggression. In the following, we will talk more about this.
The first fundamental dealt with relationships based on trust. Trust in communication refers to the generalized expectancy that a message received is true and reliable, and that the communicator demonstrates competence and honesty by conveying accurate, objective, and complete information. In order to have effective dialogue about hard subjects, for instance information disorder, a relationship of trust should be achieved. Without trust, there is no possibility for a conversation to become effective, because the person does not expect that you or your words are reliable or honest. Therefore, he or she will not engage in the dialogue. However, when there is a relationship of trust, the person is more motivated to cooperate with you in the conversation and will be more comfortable to expressing himself. But how can you achieve this trust? Trust is not easily achieved, but mostly built up over time. Trust is built up by open and prompt communication amongst each other. In this communication, you should collect evidence of trustworthiness and credibility. Showing goodwill and intimacy often creates such a bond. Whenever such a bond is not yet in place because the youth worker or teacher has not had much time with the student, but an effective dialogue should be had anyway, there is an important skill that could be useful. It is called effective professionalism.
Effective professionalism means that as a professional, you do not primarily work based on authority and cognitive action, but rather on establishing a connection and showing empathy and engagement in what concerns the other person. Empathizing with your student, genuinely getting to know them, taking an interest in them, and paying attention to their positive aspects are a crucial factor. One important and useful tool that can help you with the effective professionalism skill is self-disclosure. Depending on the situation, it helps to share a bit about your own beliefs, values, ideals, disappointments, frustrations, and anger. The gradual revelation of your feelings and personal experiences promotes both a sense of trust and the knowledge which you have about each other. This can happen verbally, non-verbally, and contextually. For example, by literally saying something, by facial expressions, body posture, and even by the brand and color of clothes you wear. Self-disclosure is mostly found to be beneficial, but should be reconsidered per context. Every person is complex and different and can react differently to similar situations. My colleague will tell you more in an instant.
Yes, I will give you some helpful guidelines how you can apply self-disclosure in difficult dialogue situations. First, do self-disclosure not too frequently. The power of self-disclosure comes precisely because it is not habitual. Then do it thoughtfully and deliberately. Try to find out what the client is actually asking before answering a question that requires self-disclosure. You can then better discuss the client's underlying need. Choose your words carefully, and take care how empathetic or emotionally charged your telling is. The degree of intimacy should match the patient's need. Overly personal self-disclosure is relatively unfavorable, but some degree of intimacy is needed. Be responsive before, during, and after self-disclosure. Be sure to get feedback back, through questions or observation, on how the client is taking it up, so you can further tune in.
Next, we come to the egalitarian dialogue. An egalitarian dialogue is one where all participants are equal. Potential power imbalances between the participants, for instance the teacher and the student, do not play an important role. Instead, the communication stimulates both partners to express their beliefs, attitudes, and opinions in order to reach a mutual understanding. The egalitarian dialogue is focused on sharing ideas on an equal level. This equality puts the focus on the validity of the arguments and what is said in the conversation, instead of forcing a particular way of thinking on someone. In this way, the form of egalitarian dialogue creates a level playing field, creating an environment of safety and openness. When you, as a frontliner, have a conversation with a person who shows signs of belief in information disorder, it is crucial that you do not condemn this belief. Hear them out, try to understand where they are coming from, and put up your own arguments without belittling theirs. This way, they will be more open towards your argumentation.
Provide guidance. Your role as frontliner is not only to provide a safe space for dialogue, but also to participate in the dialogue in order to try to counteract the belief in information disorder. In order to do this, you should keep in mind some crucial points. Stay focused. While it is important to let the student say what they need to say, the point of the conversation should not be lost. You are here to understand and to possibly counteract their belief in information disorder. Provide sensible and respectful suggestions of issues to consider, including moral and ethical points. Keep in mind to not be condemning or judgmental, that the dialogue should remain egalitarian. However, this does not mean that you cannot respectfully disagree and show alternative perspectives. Encourage and positively reinforce constructive engagement in the conversation.
Reject aggression. As my colleague said before, aggression in a dialogue leads to close-mindedness and emotion. Without an open mind, the conversation is doomed to fail from the start. Of course, it can happen that the dialogue invokes aggressiveness in the student, even though the dialogue is held respectfully. In this case, try to de-escalate the situation how you see fit. If the aggressiveness persists, then the dialogue should be continued another time. In order to prevent aggression and keep a safe and open-minded conversation, you should model civil and respectful behavior through your own actions. When you speak with respect and care, the student is more likely to emulate this behavior. In order to maintain this behavior, active listening is a key skill to use. We will tell you more about this now.
Active listening means that you demonstrate to the other person that you are truly hearing them. This contributes to avoiding conflict in the dialogue. Active listening can be done in many ways. It includes aspects like these. Look interested, get interested. Involve yourself by responding. Stay on target. Test your understanding. Evaluate what you hear. Neutralize your feelings. Active listening means that you think about your body language and posture and how they look like to them. That you do not interrupt. That you use silence effectively in order to wait for them to say what they need to say. That you summarize or paraphrase the emotion and content of what you interpret they are saying. You are not agreeing with the person, but just reiterating what they told. Active listening means also that you affirm them when you agree with what they are saying.
There are also other skills which you need for a good dialogue. Critical thinking helps you to identify assumptions and biases, to analyze the information, to reflect upon its sources, and to be able to make informed and rational judgments. Ask the student to explain why they have reached their conclusions and support their points of view, in order to understand their journey. More on this can be found in the podcast about critical thinking. Questioning is invaluable in a dialogue. It helps to enrich our understanding. Good questions, however, do not only give us more information, but enable you to create a deeper understanding of one's experiences and understand how and why they see the world as they do. Good questions are response questions, which means questions that are reactions on information from the dialogue. They help to deepen the understanding. Reflection mostly happens after the dialogue has taken place, because it takes space and time in order to reflect on what has taken place. However, it is critical to reflect, in order to understand better what you have learned and how this could be improved in the future.
And now we come to intercultural communication. It is important to recognize that the ways of communication are not entirely interchangeable across different cultures. Culture is an incredibly broad phenomenon, which can be found in everything in the social environment, in the objects which we use on a daily basis, in the way people behave, in their ideas and in their values. Because of this, culture influences people's perceptions, thought patterns, judgments and actions. In social interactions, the influence of culture can be seen in greeting rituals, clothing, mimicry, body language, and use of language. For instance, some cultures are more direct in communicating, while others are more indirect and use tone and silences to insinuate the message. So, if people coming from two different cultures together, there is a big potential for misinterpretation.
Here are some examples of misinterpretations in intercultural communication. The meaning of silence varies across cultures. In some, it may signify respect, for instance in China. Conversely, in Australia, silence is sometimes perceived as either shyness or a sign of disinterest. The appropriate physical distance for conversing with a stranger differs from one culture to another, and when someone disregards these unspoken norms, it often makes us feel uneasy. Gestures and eye contact can convey powerful, yet differing messages across cultures. For example, Arabs, Latin Americans, and Southern Europeans maintain direct eye contact with their conversational partners, while Asians and Northern Europeans tend to employ a peripheral gaze or avoid eye contact altogether. If the eye contact is too prolonged, this may even be interpreted as sexual interest. Word-by-word translations can be very tricky. An English businessman has written a letter to a Japanese businessman. He used the sentence, "I wonder if you would prepare an agenda for our meeting." The use of "wonder" in this sentence is to politely ask to do something. However, in Japanese, "wonder" can be translated as "doubt." This would create the sentence, "We doubt that you would prepare an agenda for our meeting." The well-intentioned sentence is transformed into one which could be considered rude.
So, how can we avoid intercultural misinterpretations? There is no clear-cut way to dismiss intercultural misinterpretations altogether. The way people act and think is molded by their culture, and it is hard to change this. However, in order to try and avoid them as much as possible, there are two important steps to take. First, increase your knowledge of other cultures and their habits in communication in order to understand them better. Second, talk about it. When you address the fact that there could be problems with interpretation, you create the opportunity for them, as well as for yourself, to talk about it. For example, You could ask if you understood them correctly, or repeat the message as you understood it.
We hope that you enjoyed this module. If you want to learn more about this theme, then I suggest that you read our guidelines. If you want to build up your skills, then you should visit the section with activities and exercises on the e-platform or in the mobile app. There are 4 more podcasts waiting for you. They inform you about other important aspects connected with fake news and information disorder. You will hear about the importance of dialogues, about ethical aspects, reflective skills, and finally about digital skills. They are just a click away.